you ever think, you know, I mean, it must have been, so when you left Gibraltar,
yes,
and came to England with your son, who was so young,
yes,
I mean, were you very sad?
Not to start with. The very first time I came to England was when we married, our honeymoon, which was great. It was great to come on honeymoon. Lots of friends. We came to Yorkshire first, then London, theatres every night, fantastic, buying clothes, everything. And then Victor decided after a year and a half. So I came now to live here. Now that was a shock to the system, because I left a good life, a good job, family, climate and everything, to come back with an 18-year-old son. 18 months son, to a country that was cold. I didn't have as much money as I had over there, because there was one salary coming in. Totally different, austere life. Yes, and we lived in Yorkshire, and he used to do this every afternoon. I came back in April. I came in April, and then on Boxing Day, I saw the first snow. And then I had to push a pushchair in the snow, and that wasn't funny at all. And you know what my idea of England was? Especially when it was misty, that people were murdered as you left the house. That's what I thought England was. Isn't it stupid?
No, I don't think it is.
If they walked out, they were murdered because it was dark, because it was foggy.
But I think going from, you know, with a Mediterranean culture in you,
yes,
to
yes,
Yorkshire,
yes,
I mean,
yes,
blimey.
Yeah, I know.
As they'd say.
Mind now, friends, people wonderful. My neighbours were wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And then when Robin was just about to be three, I found a play school, so that he would have companions, and wonderful place. But then after a year, I thought, what are we doing here? I wanted a city. I wanted to see life. So that's when we moved to London. And we were in London for 3 years. Again, lots of friends, which we had made friends in Gibraltar. And yes, we had a lovely time. The things sort of improved then, yeah. I mean, why I came to Kenya, I won't go into that. That's a very long story, why I came to Kenya. But I mean, I won't go into that. And we've been here ever since.
That's so interesting. And we won't, because we haven't got time.
No,
but let's just talk a little bit more about...
I mean, ask whatever you like.
Thank you. I think that what you've been telling me about how Gibraltar, or how people changed, and how Gibraltar changed after the war. There was no going back then, do you think? I mean, do you think it was... Sorry, that's not the right term. I mean, I suppose my question is, how did Gibraltar change as a place after the war?
Well, according to my mother, it had been a very quiet, really respectful place. I mean, everybody was happy, respectful families and all that. After the war, some marriages had broken up, women thought differently, some of them better, and it changed totally. That formality and that sort of elegance, my mother used to say, disappeared with people having gone through a war. Yeah, yeah. That's what she used to say. She said the elegance of going up nicely dressed with a hat and with gloves on, and the respect in the families and all that, she said, disappeared. But I must say for Gibraltar, I mean, that I think it's unique in the world that all, and I say that to anybody, all religions live together, respecting each other. Nobody's a foreigner. My mother never called anybody a foreigner. I have Jewish friends, English friends, Indians, all respecting each other. Never any. And when I came to live here, and I thought, why is somebody a foreigner? Why is that? Why do they say it's black? Why? Because that had never, ever entered my head. Never, never, never. And it still is, I think. I mean, when we had, because of being, I'm a Catholic, although I don't practice it, we had this procession, the Corpus Christi, which is a thing, and the military used to stand there and respect, the Jews respected. I've been to Jewish ceremonies, weddings, and what they do, circumcisions to boys and the names of the girl. I worked for a Jewish firm. Great friendship, great respect in every way. And you know what my mother said one day? We were at the Coventry station, the bus station, which has moved now. I was waiting for a bus to take her to the airport. And we were sitting there, and the family of Indians appeared. You know what my mother said to me? She said, that brings culture to the country. She didn't say, what are they doing here? Look at this lot. That brings culture to a country, because they can bring a lot. Their culture, their food, their clothing. That's what she said. Now, I haven't heard anybody saying that in England.
Not very often. That was, I tell you who else I heard say that, was Tony Benn's wife, Caroline, who was American. And I went to see her speak, and that's exactly what she said. Why aren't we, you know, how exciting it is that all these people have come here. Aren't we lucky?
Yeah. And I'll tell you one experience I've had of what you would call, what would you call it, being sort of considered no good. When we lived in Streatham, Robin was five then, and then he went to proper school. And then I thought, I've always wanted to work, but of course with a child, you cannot put him in a cupboard. Don't you have? So there was a school opposite, and I thought, I go in, and they gave me dinner duty lady and playground duty lady, which fitted in with his hours. And great. And to start with, you had to go into a little room and have your lunch. There was three ladies and four, and have my lunch, beautiful lunch, you know, beautiful. And then you went to the playground half an hour, and the dining room half an hour, and then you went home. And as I walked in the first day, two of them said to each other, we are getting all sorts in here now, aren't we? That was the first impression. When a few weeks had gone by, the third lady said to the other two, she said, referring to me, she's a very nice person, and I'll say that to her face.
It's something terrible about the English, this prejudice.
It is, and it's there all the time. They pretend it isn't, but it's there. It's there. Really, and also if you meet somebody, I mean, you just notice this sort of thing. I don't blame England in a way, because it's an island. The British people will never be European. They don't want to learn another language. They don't want to be European. They don't want to be. And why should they be? And I feel very sorry for them that they have been invaded by everybody and taken advantage of England. Because, I mean, people here are very tolerant, really. And I think that people in England, with the best intention in the world, they are trying to convert, if I can explain what I mean, trying to convert people to the life here, to learning the culture, but those people cannot convert to this culture.
I think it's about not wanting change.
No,
people in England, it doesn't matter if...
I don't blame them.
They want things to stay the same.
Yeah, and I don't blame them, because they have been invaded, really, by everybody. And the same thing with, I mean, nothing with the war. How can they think that they're going to convert Arabs to democracy? What are they talking about? They're going to make an Arab queue, or be honest... I was just talking to my sister about that. I mean, Mediterranean people, we have a lot of the Arab in us, like that. How? And they're trying so hard, and they're not going to win.
It's
and
true.
It's very sad.
I'm just going to hold on just 2 seconds. I've just remembered on the train, I just make sure that I haven't left anything out that I was going to ask you, because we've covered quite a lot of stuff. I just, again, this is just an impression, but what do you think, Victor apart, because I know he was very interested in, you were saying a lot of his friends were with the military and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think the relationship was after the war between the Gibraltarians and the military?
Oh, very strong, very strong. I mean, the Gibraltarians have always been in awe of the British. You know what I mean? I mean, we are British passport. I don't consider myself English. I have a British passport because I was born in Gibraltar. But they have always been in awe of the military, the navy, the governor, you know what I mean, the parades, very much so. In fact, so more so than anybody born here, because some people have never seen a battleship, or have never been inside an aircraft carrier, or have never gone to a mess night with an officer, you know what I mean? I mean, the people I know in Kenya certainly haven't done that. We in Gibraltar do that, yeah.
And what do you think, sort of, this is quite a difficult question, but you might be able to answer it or discuss it, is what do you think defines, who is a Gibraltarian? What defines a Gibraltarian?
Well, I'll tell you what I think now, that I have been away for so long, and with all, I read the Chronicle, and I'm very interested in the politics that are going on there. I say now, and I'll say to anybody, the Gibraltarians are Spaniards with a British passport. Because there's more Spanish in the way of life, the way they think, and the way they behave, than a British person, definitely. When I say this to a fellow Gibraltarian, they want to kill me, and I don't care. But the Gibraltarians are really Mediterranean, more Spanish than anything else. They happen to have a British passport because they were born in Gibraltar. Because they have a good life there. Now, I don't see, they come here to shop, they come here to school, they come here to university, it's all paid for them. They come here when they're ill, and it's paid by the Gibraltar government. They get excellent treatment in England, consultant, even a house, you've heard of Gibraltar Calpe House. They get all that. I sound as if I'm jealous. No, it's a fact. They get all that, but none of them come here to spend the summer here. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Do you know what I
just
mean?
Just tell me, you said actually one thing. You've heard of Gibraltar House. What were you talking
Calpe
about?
Calpe House.
What's that?
In London. Mm. Calpe House is a building in London. Do you know Bayswater?
Yes.
Well, the famous building that was a shop, in Bayswater. Whiteley's takes an MOA. The famous building in Mayswater.
Oh, Whiteley's.
Whiteley's. Now, very near Whiteley's, there's a building there bought by the Gibraltar government, and when anybody's brought here, well, it's very ill, you know what I mean, things that cannot be dealt with in Gibraltar, then they are housed there, and their families are housed there. Well, and one member of the family, they can stay there for very little money. They have a room like a hotel in Calpe House, and that's paid by the Gibraltar government. So any Gibraltarian that has to have treatment here that cannot be provided in Gibraltar or in Spain, they use Spain as well because it's nearer. But even his brother, he comes to the Moorfield Hospital now for his eye treatment, and they stay in the Calpe House.
That might be a good place to go and interview people. It'd be interesting.
It would be. Mm. Because I tell you, the last question you have asked me about Gibraltarian, you would find a lot of answers there. They arrive because they are ill, either the man or the woman, and the first thing they look for is Spanish television. There's nothing wrong with that, but as I say, I don't think, I mean, and you hear it all the time, they live in the Mediterranean, they live next door to Spain, they speak Spanish all the time. I sometimes talk to them in English and they answer me in Spanish.
What do you and Victor talk?
Both of them. We row in Spanish so the neighbours can't hear.
I noticed you had Spanish books as well, so reading in Spanish.
Both.
Too.
Well, those are sometimes given to us by people or bought. That television, we have Spanish and English. We bought the satellite dish outside. We look at, because we like it. I mean, we like the culture and we like the document, we like the films, the politics, everything really. I mean, it's a very mixed culture, but I think that really they tend more to be on the Spanish side. And really, the Gibraltarians cannot do without Spain. They're crossing, and they should be ashamed of themselves, because with all that Spain is throwing at Gibraltar, and still, I say that they have no shame, they should not cross into Spain. And they cross constantly, and they leave their money in Spain. And that part of Spain is only there because of Gibraltar. Because otherwise, but not now, for centuries.
What about all the Spanish who come and work for Gibraltarians? I mean, does that make the Gibraltarians look down on the Spanish?
No. Now, we had staff all the time. They were like family. I mean, everybody in their place, but like family. We treated them beautifully. If it was a young girl and then she got married, my mother would provide for all that. We used to visit them. There was never, but having said that, when Franco started becoming nasty, then we saw the other side of these people, because we had a carpenter who used to do some of our furniture when we got married. He had lived and eaten from Gibraltar, meaning dependent all his life. And when all this is sort of stirred by politicians, he came in one day and he said, well, when this is Spanish, all this will be mine. So at the end of the day, they stick a knife in your back. And I said this to my sister-in-law only last Sunday when they came for the wedding. I said to her, aren't you ashamed to cross into Spain? Aren't you ashamed at what the Spaniards are doing to Gibraltar? And, oh, no, she said, no, because it's nice going there. Well, I know that. And she said, because they are feeding La Línea, really, they are feeding them. She said, what about, I said, they should cross that frontier. Then the British inside and the Spanish outside. They should do that, I said. She said, no. All those people would die because they would go hungry. I said, but those people in Spain will stick a knife in your back even if they have feeding you. And that's the truth. And Caruana should never have signed the contract, this Cordova agreement. Because you don't trust the Spaniards. You do not trust them. We listen to their politics now. They are corrupt. Totally corrupt, all of them. You cannot trust them. They signed that Cordova agreement and they haven't kept a word of it, and they're not going to either. They're doing all the damage they're doing with the fishing. They want to stop the air. Seeing that was promised by them, they want to stop that as well. They would like to really, for Gibraltar to disappear. They want it back. And what are they going to do with Gibraltar if they have it back? Make the mess that they've got in Spain now.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? The economy. But what about you, yourself? Who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am? A Mediterranean person. British passport because I was born in Gibraltar, but I feel very Mediterranean, and I relate more to a Mediterranean culture than I relate to the one here. That's my honest, honest opinion. And I'll say that to anybody. Yeah. In England, I find that I cannot adjust to their way of thinking. Not that there's anything wrong with it, with them, it's me. The way they think about the elderly, the way the families are in this nuclear thing. The grandmother is here on her own because she wants to be independent. The newlyweds have to be there because they have to form a little family to bond together. The children have to leave home when they're 16 to become independent. To me, that's a whole lot of rubbish. Because 50 years ago, everybody lived together and nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. They had more support in the family. Okay, they may have had a few rows, but all these nuclear bits, I cannot understand it. You have children struggling to pay a mortgage and that, when they could be living at home and not paying one electricity bill, for goodness sake. You know what I mean?
That's really good.